Sarvasvamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayamudiriye. Before reciting this Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, we should offer our respectful obeisances unto Lord Narayan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, unto Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author, and unto Srila Prabhupada, the inspirer. Nashtaprayesha Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavad-yuttama shloke Bhaktim Bhavati Naishtiki. By regular attendance and classes on Srimad Bhagavatam and by rendering devotional service to the pure devotee, all that is inauspicious within the heart is destroyed almost to nil, and loving devotion to the Supreme Lord, who is glorified in transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. On this 29th day of April 2015 in Alachua, Florida, we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, this portion of which is translated by the disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. We are in Canto 10, the Summum Bonum, Chapter 64, the Deliverance of King Riga, text 35 to the end of the chapter.
Brahma Swam Duranu Gyatam Buktam Hanti Tripurusham Prasaya Tubalad Buktam Dashapurvan Dashaparan Brahma Swam Duranu Gyatam Buktam Hanti Tripurusham Prasahya Tubalad Buktam Dashapurvan Dashaparan Brahma Swam Duranu Gyatam Buktam Hanti Tripurusham Prasaya Tubalad Buktam Dashapurvan Dashaparan. Brahma Swam Duranu Gyatam Buktam Hanti Tripurusham Prasaya Tubalad Buktam Dashapurvan Dashaparan. Brahma Swam Duranu Gyatam Buktam Hanti Tripurusham Prasaya Tubalad Buktam Dashapurvan Dashaparan. Brahma Swam Duranu Gyatam Buktam Hanti Tripurusham Prasaya Tubalad Buktam Dashapurvan Dashaparan. Ladies? Brahma Swam Tumanu Gyatam Buktam Hanti Tipurusham Prasaya Tubalad Buktam Dashapurvan Dashaparan. One more lady. Come on. Brahma Swam Duranu Gyatam Buktam Hanti Tripurusham Prasaya Tubalad Buktam Dashapurvan Dashaparan.
Brahmasvam, a Brahman's property. Duranugyatam, not given proper permission. Buktam, enjoyed. Hanti, destroys. Tree. Purusham, persons. Pasaihya, by force. To, but. Balat, resorting to external power of the government, etc. Buktam, enjoyed. Dasha, 10. Purvan, previous. Dasha, 10. Aparan, subsequent. Translation, if a person enjoys a Brahman's property without receiving due permission, that property destroys three generations of his family. But if he takes it by force or gets the government or other outsiders to help him usurp it, then 10 generations of his ancestors and 10 generations of his descendants are all destroyed. Report. According to Srila Sridhar Swami, Tri Purusha refers to oneself, one's sons, and one's grandsons. Rajano Raja Lakshmyandha Natma Patam Bachakshate Nidayam Ye Bimanyante Brahma Swam Sadhu Balishaha. Members of the royal order, blinded by royal opulence, fail to foresee their own downfall. Childishly hankering to enjoy a Brahman's property, they are actually hankering to go to hell. Let's read the English. For as many years as there are particles of dust touched by the tears of generous Brahmins who have dependent families and whose property is stolen, uncontrolled kings who usurp a Brahmin's property are cooked, along with their royal families, in the hell known as Kumbhipaka. Hare Krishna. Whether it be his own gift or someone else's, a person who steals a Brahmin's property will take birth as a worm in feces for 60,000 years. Krishna speaking, I do not desire a Brahmin's wealth. Those who lust after it become short-lived and are defeated. They lose their kingdoms and become snakes who trouble others. This is just lusting after. This isn't even taking it. This is just desiring it. Prabhupada points that out in the Krishna book. My dear followers, never treat a learned Brahmin harshly, even if he has sinned. Even if he attacks you physically or repeatedly curses you, always continue to offer him obeisances. Purport. Lord Krishna offers this instruction not only to his personal associates, but to all those who claim to be followers of the Supreme Personality of God. Next text. Just as I always carefully bow down to Brahmins, so all of you should likewise bow down to them. I will punish anyone who acts otherwise. When a Brahmin's property is stolen, even unknowingly, it certainly causes the person who takes it to fall down, just as the Brahmin's cow did to Nriga. Report. The Lord here demonstrates that his instructions are not theoretical, but practical, as seen concretely in the case of Nriga Maharaj. Having thus instructed the residents of Dwarka, Lord Mukunda, purifier of all the worlds, entered his palace. Thus end the purports of the humble servants of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada to the 10th canto, 64th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Deliverance of King Nriga. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance. My spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto him and all members of Sri Parampara. So, we're going to have a little review of this chapter and its lessons, and then we're going to move on to the theme, which is getting out of the well of this material world. I was thinking of this whole chapter, and then I realized how this metaphor or analogy is often used to describe our condition in this world. And there's so many wonderful verses in the Bhagavatam and also a beautiful verse in the Mukunda Mala Stotra that I'd like to share with you in this regard. So the first thing is that we wouldn't even know about Nriga if he hadn't met that devotee and offered charity to him. There are numerous very charitable persons throughout the history, and they may perform perfect yajñas and sacrifices and austerities and sacrifice and charity in order to go to the heavenly planets. And many of them may have not even made one mistake like this. This is, I mean, I often think of this, well, what did he really do? He didn't do anything. His cow just wandered into the, you know, it was an utter mistake. And yet that affected him in this way. But because he had met, it's described in the verses and also in the commentary, Srila Prabhupada's Krishna book, as well as Jiva Goswami, Vishnu Chakravarti described, how one of the Brahmins to which he gave charity was an actual Brahmin Vaishnav. And he wanted to build a temple, he wanted books such as Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, and Viga was overjoyed to help him in that regard. So this was real devotional service. And he was blessed to eventually see the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. This was the reciprocation from this Brahmin. And that reciprocation eventually, of course, came true. But it's described that, Nuga describes in the text, that since the time when he met that Brahmin, he was always hankering to see the Lord. So really he became a devotee at that point. Because we should never forget that merely hankering to see the Lord, or to serve the Lord, is itself devotional service. There are so many passages. I was thinking of Lord Chaitanya's, you know, his whole teaching of love and separation. What is that? That's hankering to be with Krishna again. The highest devotees are the gopis. And practically their whole life is spent in separation from Krishna, longing to see him again, longing to be with him. One especially poignant verse from the Gopi Gita. The Gopi Gita, among the Gopi Gitas, there's four in the Bhagavatam, but one is called the Gopi Gita, and that's this chapter 31, where they're separated from Krishna. And they're singing in this utter separation in the rasa dance. You know the story, where they're abandoned, and they're wandering around, and they're mad, and they're imitating his leela, and they're longing to see him, and they're approaching the trees and the animals, and in their madness, they say, have you seen Krishna? Have you seen Krishna? And then finally, you know, the moon is getting out of sight and it's dark, and so they go to the bank of the moon and they sing this famous song. And many of them, the whole song is about, can we see you again? But one that especially comes to mind, they say, Vajjadanati han vidi yoshitam vidyadanasmaya dvangsanasmita Vajjasake babat kinta dismano jadaduhananam jadadarshaya. A beautiful song. You know, many people in India, even if they're not Gaudiya Vaishnavas or anything, they memorize this whole chapter. So what this means is, oh my dear Krishna, Vajjadanati han, you who destroy the suffering of the Vrajajanas, of the residents of Vrindavan, Virya Yoshitam, you the hero for all women, Nijadanasmaya Dvangsanasmita, and with your smile, you're able to destroy the pride of the residents of Vrindavan, of like us gopis, you know, just by smiling. Oh friend, please reciprocate with us. And show us again your beautiful lotus-like face. This is one of many third ones. So, while Nuga was for years and years and years in that well, he was hoping and hankering to see Krishna. He was there to get the darshan of Krishna, which had been promised. So we shouldn't think that he wasn't a devotee. He was a devotee at that point. And although when he actually got the darshan of Krishna and Krishna saved him, then he offered these wonderful prayers. Yes, he went to the heavenly planets, but he continued his devotional service in the heavenly planets. Now, one of the lessons here, of course, Krishna's hammering it home at the end of this chapter, very astoundingly, is that whatever you do, don't think of taking anything from a Brahmin. And we should remember that these Brahmins were more or less smarter Brahmins. They're born in Brahmin families, they're very pure, they're very expert at chanting the mantras, performing the sacrifices. But as we pointed out last time, they didn't really display of all the qualities of the Brahmins that we find in the Bhagavad Gita, especially forgiveness. I mean, one cow wanders in and, you know, and it wasn't even his fault, and they never forgive him. You know, what is that? You know? So I was reminded of this verse in the seventh, in one of the prayers of Prahlad to Nrisimhadeva. Viprad Vishadguna Yatara Ravinda Nava Pada Ravinda Namakatra Patam Vadistam Mande Tara Patamano Vachane Hitata Pranam Bhunati Sakulam Vatu Bhuri Mana. Bhuri Mana means very proud of their position as Brahmins. So these Brahmins are like that. Bhuri Mana. So here Prahlad says, a Brahmin, a chandal, a dog eater, who has been purified and who's offering his mind, body, words, his wealth, everything, his life air, pranam, to the service of the Lord, is much better than a Brahmin decorated with these 12 qualities of a Brahmin, which are in the footnote described. There's more than ones even that described in the 18th chapter of the Gita. But those qualities, shamo, dhammas, tapak, shacham, you know, self-control, cleanliness, so forth, all these things. But if they're not, if it's not actual devotee, then the chandal is really a devotee, is in a better position. So these Brahmins were like that. They were Bhurimana. But they were still Brahmins. They were still Brahmins. And one should be very careful to respect them. Now, one of the things that is happening here that is described, because he's speaking to the members of the royal order, he's speaking to his sons and maybe grandsons here, and it seems like at the end of the chapter, it looks like other members of citizens of Dwarka, is that we have to remember Krishna is very concerned to establish and maintain varnashram system, in which you have these different varnas, these different social orders. And even if the member of the social order is not, especially the Brahmins, are not completely Brahmin Vaishnavas, as it were, still, it's very important to maintain that social order, the authority of the Brahmins. And therefore, he's speaking in this way, in the horrific punishments for stealing the property of a Brahmin. Now, Brahmins, real Brahmins, are very renounced and they're very austere. As Prabhupada famously said, austerity is the wealth of the Brahmins. So actual Brahmins, as we have the example of Ramchandra in the ninth canto. Remember where he gave charity, he gave everything he owned to the Brahmins, and I think all that was left with Mother Sita's nose ring or something like that. Yeah. So he gave it all to the Brahmins, right? And they gave it all back, right? Because he can actually use it for the welfare of the people. But the point is, he really gave it. He recognized that they are the real proprietors, and that in the matter of spending it and managing the world or the kingdom, the Kshatriyas are meant to defer to the Brahmins, get advice from the Brahmins, because they are the repositories of real knowledge, and they are meant to be the head of society. So what do we have today? we have the vestiges of the Varna system. That's what it's called, the Varnas. In every society, according to guna and karma, quality and work, there is an intelligent class of people, right? I mean, I remember, growing up, you go to first grade, second grade, third grade. Okay, there's the blue birds, the red birds, and the yellow birds, right? In other words, those who are a little bit slower need a little more attention, and those who are faster, and those who are the fastest. So naturally, there are people born who are more intelligent. But they're not Brahmins. It's just that they're more intelligent. They're meant to be trained. And that's why it's described. This verse was referred to in Tamahaprabhu's class. Probably read the translation Prabhupada gave it, not the Sanskrit. But Prabhupada would quote this verse. Janmana jayate shudra. Sanskarad bhave dvija. Vedapatad bhave vipra brahmajanati iti brahmanaha. What is a real Brahman? So we have these different terms that are often conflated, but here the distinction is made between the dvija and the vipra and the brahmana. So the first line says, everyone's born a shudra. Means that your birth, without training and development of your innate qualities, isn't worth very much. So everyone's born a shudra. But by samskara, You become purified, you become twice born. There's so many samskaras to be performed before conception, and we know that, and afterward, when the child grows up. So then you can become trained as a dvija. But only by really becoming learned in the shastra do you become a vipra. Right? It means a learned pundit, Brahman. But that's still not enough. Only by actually knowing Brahman, in this case, of course, the supreme Brahman, Param Brahma, Krishna, can you really be considered a Brahman. Very important verse of Prabhupada would quote. So, this social structure needs to be maintained. Otherwise, society is destroyed. You get Varna Sankara, which are increasing every day. Means population that is unwanted. It doesn't mean that they're unwanted children, like, you know, unexpected pregnancy. Someone thought that. No, it means that they're a burden on society. You know, that they become little demons. They grow up into big demons without training, without, you know. So this is what's going on in society today, because the whole thing is broken down. So Krishna's very concerned to reestablish it. Every time I do the Vyasa Puja offerings, and they come in, you know, we have every year we put out this book, and oftentimes devotees will speak about and remember how Prabhupada was so eager to establish Varnashram, how he felt that 50% of his mission hadn't been completed, that the other half was Varnashram, because he saw that how many can really live in the temples, how many can really practice super strictly. So he wanted to establish Varnashram, which is for everybody else. That society, in order to progress rather than go to hell, needed this structure. So that's part of the lesson here, is Krishna's exaltation of the Brahmins. Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahman Hitaya. He's always looking out for the welfare of the Brahmins, Brahmin society, especially Brahmin Vaishnavas. And then another lesson here is the importance of, as I saw from reading this chapter earlier, in the 12th chapter of the Gita, where Krishna says, if you can't do this, do this, can't do this, do this, can't do this, finally he says, at least be self-situated and given charity. Don't be attached to the fruits of your activity. The more you do that, the more miserly you become, the less you're giving in charity. And we see the benefit. Here, Nigar was so charitable that when the real Vaishnav came, he was very eager to give him charity, and then his life became successful. So Srila Prabhupada, you know, he gave people the chance to be charitable to Vaishnavas. All devotees walking on the street distributing books, you know. Then someone give a little donation, right? They don't know what they're giving donation to. They give, you know, but they're giving a donation. This is the beginning of devotional service. In all of their lifetime, they may have, you know, done so many things that they thought were pious or impious, whatever. But the real value is that one giving of donation to a devotee, just like Vanriga. And then that agyata sukriti then will bring them again in touch with devotional service. So this is another aspect here, is that is to be generous. Now devotees, of course, we have the greatest treasure to give. We've been given by Srila Prabhupada the knowledge and practice of Krishna consciousness. And so we can truly practice charity by trying to give Krishna consciousness to others. This is the Sankirtan movement. That's why I said Lord Chaitanya is Namo Mahabhudanyaya. Dana means gift. That's what Nrigu was giving. He's known as the most, you know, so charitable. And, you know, it showed how he was a little bit, you know, he wasn't really so selfless or free of pride when he reminded Krishna, you'll see my name on the list of the most generous. You might have seen my name, right? Didn't you see my name? That's not the devotee mood, you know. So, these are some of the lessons that, you know, the greatest charity is Krishna consciousness. We should give that to as many as possible. Don't steal the property of a Brahmin. Certainly don't take the property of Krishna. If you give a gift, you give charity, you give a donation, don't expect anything back, you know. The best kind of charity, this is in the Bible, is anonymous. You know, you don't even get the name and fame. Oh, I gave the biggest donation. No, it's just for Krishna, for his pleasure. And don't expect anything back. Certainly don't expect that back. Now, I'd like to kind of switch gears a little bit and just go into the theme of in the well and getting out of the well. I was just trying to enter into the mood of Nriga, you know, during that time when he was in the well for so many years, years and years and years, but always hankering that Krishna would come, expecting that Krishna, that he would see Krishna. That was really his saving grace, right? So we're also in the well. This is this the whole material world is like a well. The blind well of material life. The problem is we don't think of it as such. We think of it as a field of enjoyment. But really, we're trapped here without knowledge of our greatest interest, without association of devotees, you know, I mean, in the material sphere. One of the first aspects of Krishna consciousness is realizing our actual position. That's why Prabhupada was so often hammering, you know, birth, all ages, ease, and death. Janma, mrityu, veda, vyadi, dukkha, dosha, and darshanam. This is one of the first elements of knowledge, is to understand the evils of birth, all ages, ease, and death. This is the well of material life, right? Sometimes it's a fire, sometimes it's an ocean, sometimes it's a well. In any case, you can't get out without an intervention, without help. So I was reminded of this beautiful verse in the Uddhava Gita. This is actually spoken by Uddhava. You know, in the course of these discourses, as you'll find with Shukadeva and Parikha and Sutta Goswami and Shonaka Rishi, that he answers a question, and then he may say, do you have any other questions? Or even just in the middle, I'll ask, please go on speaking. You know, your words are just like nectar, you know, filling my ears. Parikha says, let the snake bird bite me. I don't care. Just keep chanting, you know, the glories of the Lord. You know. So this is one that Uddhava speaks, and it's in 11th canto, 19th chapter, text number 10, and it's exactly pertinent to the well. So he says, Dashtam janam sampatitam bilesmin kalahina chuddusukoru tarsham samudharainam kripayapa vargaya vachobeda sincha mahanubhava. O Almighty Lord, please be merciful and uplift this hopeless living entity who has fallen into the dark hole of material existence where the snake of time has bitten him. Dashtam janam, this person has been bitten. In spite of such abominable conditions, this poor living entity has tremendous desire to relish the most insignificant material happiness. Please save me, my Lord, by pouring down the nectar of your instructions, which awaken one to spiritual freedom. Very beautiful verse. So, now the two words, sampatitam and samudharana. Sampatitam means totally fallen. We're so fallen, we don't know how fallen we are. You know, what is that song? I've been down so long, looks like up to me. Right? Wasn't there a song like that? Or maybe it was. In other words, the more you say fallen, the more you forget you're fallen. You try to make your peace with being in this situation. And therefore, it's a chudda sukha uru tarsham. In spite of being in this situation, we have a tremendous desire to try to enjoy the insignificant sense gratification here. And that's what actually keeps us in the well, right? So here, Uddhava is taking the role of a fallen soul, obviously, and being bitten by the snake of time, kalahina, you know, means that time is just like a big python, always devouring, you know, our plans, our very life. Eventually, it devours the whole universe, right? Everything becomes destroyed. Kalos miloka chayakrit pavidho. When Krishna answered the question in 11th chapter, he says, who are you? You know, this, and what did Arjun see? He was frightened to see this destructive force. Thousands of mouths, he's crushing the enemies in between his teeth. You know, the whole thing. You know, I'm time. You know, time is destroying everything. All our plans for happiness, everything, these very bodies, everything. So it's like this big python, you know, or whatever, cobra, you know, devouring us. So, and yet, just see the paradox. You know, in this holocaust, if you will, we're still hankering so much to enjoy this insignificant sense gratification. So what is the cure? Now he gives second half of the verse. Please lift me up, O Lord, with your words, ashincha mahanubhava, which are just like nectar. You're pouring down these words, which are apavagya, which give liberation, will save me from the well. Out of your mercy, kripaya, please pour down continue to pour down your words, ashincha, the sprinkling. Oh, great one, Mahanubhava. So this is a beautiful prayer. And it's just like that. What does that rope consist of? There's another verse I'm going to quote. How can we get out of the well? Well, Krishna's lifting the hand. He puts the hand in to take out Durga. So how does Krishna lift us out? With his instructions, as transmitted directly by him and through the Shastra and through his pure devotees. That's the means by which we can get out. But we need to grab that hand. In other words, we need to receive those instructions and put them to use in our life. That's how we can get out of this well of material life. And there's another verse here that I'd like to share with you. Actually, there's two more. I just recalled this also when I was thinking about this class. This is from the Mukunda Mala Stotra, which is full of wonderful verses. Prabhupada actually started writing this, translating this book before the Bhagavatam in India. And he did about 12, 15 verses with beautiful purports. And then he, you know, started writing the first canto and that whole, he never got back to it. And we completed it in the latter 80s with, you know, Gopi Kumaranda and myself, Saksut Maharaj. So this one describes exactly, you know, how we fall into this well. This is a very wonderful verse. Andasya me rita viveka mahadhanasya chaurai prabho balabat indriya nama dehai mohandakupa kuhare vinipatatasya devesh dehi kupanasya karavalambam. O Lord, the powerful thieves of my senses have blinded me by stealing my most precious possession, my discrimination. And they have thrown me deep into the pitch-dark well of illusion. Please, O Lord of Lords, extend your hand and save this wretched soul. Isn't this a perfect verse for this chapter? So, first of all, he calls the Mohanda Kupa Kuhare. So, the great blindness. They've blinded me. What is our most important possession is our discrimination. What distinguishes us from the animals is our intelligence. And if that intelligence is simply misused for fulfilling animal propensities, then we've lost the opportunity of the human form of life, and chances are we won't be human beings in our next life. So it's that discrimination, that ability to reflect on the right and wrong and philosophy and who I am, by which we can then control the mind and senses and not just let the senses rule us. So here he says, the thieves, the powerful thieves of my senses, you know, have run riot, and they've stolen that treasure. So now I've lost my discrimination, right? Now I'm just following the demands of the senses. And those thieves have thrown me into this deep, dark well of illusion. Vinipatatasya. I've thrown down and fallen down. So the last line, Devesha, Lord of the demigods. In other words, I'm not going to go to any Shiva, Brahma or anything. I'm going to you. You're the Lord of all the demigods. Please put your hand down. Avalamba means the aid or the shelter of your hand to this wretch. Kripanasya means a wretched fool. And lift me out of the well. So this is a beautiful prayer. And we can come before the Lord and offer this prayer. And then, as we know, hand, you know, how does he extend his hand? Through his instructions, through the Vaishnavas, the pure devotees, spiritual master. This is how that hand is extended. Now, this is a beautiful purport here written. And then there's a verse quoted that's also the same mood. This is by Rupa Goswami. Again, in the well. And this time, another snake in the well, but it's a different snake. It's not time this time. Manasiddha panidushte, labdhapatos mi dushte. Timina gahana rupe, handa sangsara kupe. Ajita nikala rakshahe tamundhara duksham, upanayama mahaste, bhakti ranjum namaste. Now here, Krishna is not extending his hand, but he's extending the rope of bhakti. Beautiful verse. So I put it into a little poem. Says, fallen in this deep and dark and dirty well of Maya, threatened by the snake of lust, whose venom burns like fire. Helplessly I pray, O Lord, whose strength is ne'er in doubt, place the robe of bhakti in my hand and pull me out. Hare Krishna. So it's very instructive. This world is deep, dark, and contaminated, right? Deep means you can't get out on your own. It's just like a blind well, the famous blind well in India. You know, we're not so familiar here, but well, you dig a well, you use it for some time, and then it dries up. Well, you got to dig another well. What happens to the old well? Well, they generally don't fill it in. So what happens is grass grows on top of it, and then somebody's walking along and suddenly he falls down, may break a leg or something, but he's fine and he's down in the well. Now what? Help, help, help. You know, but it's hard to hear. So someone's got to come. You cannot get out. So that's the blind well. So here within, Manasijja Panijashti. Manasijja, all of these words are so instructive. Manasijja means born, mind born. You know, this cupid, this lust is all mind born. It's born from the mind. So he's called Manasijja. Compared to a poisonous snake that is, biting us. In other words, it's threatening us there to keep us in this thrall of Chudra Sukhara Tarsham. This completely ties in with the other verse. Make us so blinded and, you know, mad that we're trying to enjoy material sex life even in this blind wealth. And that's keeping us here. You know, we forget our situation and in the thrall of Maya or illusion. So that's Manasijja Panijashti. And it's contaminated. It means that the modes of lower modes of nature here, the association is so bad that our conscious state is covered and affected by the modes of nature and all of this bad association. And it's very dark, means there's no light here. There needs to be an intervention, right? We're covered over. So what's the intervention? The light, you know, Krishna Sadamo Bhagade, Bhagavad philosophy, the son of the Bhagavatam, as transmitted and exemplified by a pure devotee. That's the only hope, the ebony light. So it's deep, dark, and contaminated. Samsara kupe, this well of samsara. But you are ajita. You're never conquered by the modes of nature. You always remain above it. Ajita nikala raksha hetum means the cause of universal safety or salvation. He's describing the rope now, the bhakti rajam. Udara daksham, which is very expert, this rope of bhakti, as spoken by you, of lifting us out of this well. Upanaya mamahaste, bring it close to my hand. Now, this is very significant because all of us have had that rope of bhakti extended to us. But the question is how tightly we want to hold on to that rope. We hold on a little while, then we loosen, maybe, you know, come down the rope, maybe we fall back down again and hold on to the rope. But we have to hold on to the rope. Otherwise, even Krishna can't pull us out. He can pull us out if we hold on to the rope. That means following strictly the principles of devotional service. That's what holding on to the rope means. So that's where we come in. Where our will has to be there. You know, that's why it is said that one of the obstacles to overcome is the riddhiya daubalyam, is the weakness of heart. It means that the do's and don'ts of devotional service and the need to be constant. You know, just like if you're being pulled out of a well, it's not that you can sometimes hold on to the rope. You got to constantly hold on to the rope. So we have to constantly follow the program of Krishna consciousness so that we can come to the point of constant remembrance of Krishna, which is actually the whole point of devotional service. So this is some of the themes here. We're all in the well, and all of us are hoping to see Krishna one day, hoping that Krishna will reveal himself to us. How strong we really want to do that and want to see Krishna is proportionate to how much we're also dabbling in sense gratification. As soon as you dabble in sense gratification, the desire to see Krishna goes away because they're diametrically opposed. So that's why, you know, Kadashi is such a nice day. It's supposed to be a day where we perform a little more austerity and increase our hearing and chanting. And we find that, oh, the austerity really isn't such an austerity. You know, the hearing and chanting becomes so tasty, you find you can, you know, that's fulfilling. The whole idea is that Krishna consciousness is completely fulfilling, and it destroys the eagerness for sense gratification. Until the point comes, you know, like we know that the famous verse from Yamunacharya, that even the remembrance of sex life is like disgusting. I mean, I can remember, we can all, so those of us who weren't born in Krishna consciousness, which is probably the best majority here in the room, I can remember, forgive me, you know, desiring and biting into a, you know, a steak and a hamburger. You know, I mean, that comes up. But as soon as I think about it, it's disgusting, right? When you actually think about it. Nobody, I mean, it can't attract you anymore, right? No matter how many, you know, times I happen to live across from McDonald's. I live across from McDonald's. Luckily, I'm mostly upwind because we're on the beach. And the wind is blowing from the beach. But sometimes the other winds blow. What do they call them? I forget. The special winds that come off the desert. And, you know, then the stink, if you will, you know, is coming. Now, to many people, oh, this is so attractive. You know, let's go to McDonald's. They're smart. That's why they pump it out into the street. But for a devotee, it's like, oh, poor mother cow. You know, you think of the flesh, you think of the cow, you think of Krishna, oh my God. So what happened to that desire? I mean, I was once, you know, a normal American, you know, eating meat. But that desire went. So why not all the other desires? They're all absurd, you know? I mean, I don't want to, you know, spoil the atmosphere, but this is part of the Bhagavatam, you know? Does really, you know, embracing a bag of bones, blood, and stool, is that attractive? Is bring a bag? Oh, of course not. But isn't that what sex life is? I mean, it's absurd. It's really a deep, deep illusion. It is a deep illusion. Now, it has to be managed. I'm not saying, you know, obviously not everyone can renounce it immediately. But that's actually philosophically and realistically what it's all about. It doesn't make any sense. But hey, we're born with it. You know, it's built in. So we have to manage it in such a way. That's why there's, you know, household life, ashram, so forth. But it's not for all the days, as Prabhupada says. At a certain age, one has to turn one's mind more and more and more to Krishna and become attracted and cure the disease in that way. So that's what Manasiddha Panditashte is all about. We're in this well, and there's this poisonous snake of sex desire, and we have to get out of the well. It's just a matter of it. So Nriga was able to, you know, what a blessing, you know, to have Krishna pull you out with his own hand like that. But we can have the same blessing by the means of how Krishna is extending himself today and constantly through his devotees, through his words, through the Shastra, you know, and through the temples, this incredible darshan, you know, the deities. Krishna's coming. You want to see me? You know, come to the temple and see me. I'm always puzzled how, you know, this temple is not completely full every morning. I mean, I know everyone, they have temples at home, they have so many things to do, but really, darshan, I just bowls you over. I mean, when I come, anyway. And, okay, so now before I have questions, I want to share with you one more prayer, and this is a little different mood. This is a prayer to Krishna and Balaram. Whenever I come here, I have obeisances to Govindakai, I have so many obeisances and prayers to Radha Shyamasunda, Radha Krishna. But Krishna Balaram is rare, and so I didn't have one. But I was remember years ago that Bhakti Vishramba Swami, I'm sure you remember who he is. He is, you know, he's known as Vishramba because he's famous for being in that fraternal mood. So he has a lot of access to these prayers to Krishna Balaram. So he gave us one, myself and Bhadri Narayan Maharaj. Okay, here. Somehow it's not coming out. All right, I'll give it to you tomorrow. So, at this point, if there are any comments or questions, yes, please. All right, just wait for a moment. John, coming? Here, right here, Narahari.
Thank you, Prabhu, for a lovely class.
Hare Krishna, Gaura Prabhupada.
I like the discussion about extirpating ourselves from this andakupam, this dark, nasty well, which we're entrenched in. And as you so eloquently described, that the rope is there to pull ourselves out, which is by Krishna's blessing is coming through Guru Parampara. Yesterday, Kamahar Prabhu talked about one of the difficulties in the endeavor of getting ourselves out of that well, we spoke about aparads. I mean, that's something that can really impede our progress, getting ourselves out. I want to ask you about another one I see as a major impediment, and that is, even if we're following all the principles, a danger is niyamagraha. Mm-hmm. Niyamagraha can really put like grease on that rope. So even though we're pulling, we're going through the motions because of the grease of niyamagraha, we don't
now,
really
do
go anywhere.
Do you mean niyamagraha or do you mean niyamagraha? You know what I'm talking about. Which niyamagraha? Both of them.
Niyamagraha. Following.
Going through the motions.
Following simply mechanically.
Yeah, rope. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, mechanically following. Our heart's not really there. That's kind of like grease on the rope.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
How do we avoid that pitfall?
Well, I hate to give an easy answer, but it's the main answer, always really, is to refine our association. We need to associate with those who are genuinely enthusiastic. And you'll find, you know, devotees who are genuinely enthusiastic. And to try to associate, pick up their mood and learn how to maintain that enthusiasm over years, you know, because after all, we talk about eternal. Well, let's just talk about the next 20 years, you know, 30 years, 40 years, however long we have in this body. We have to, after all, maintain and increase our enthusiasm. If, generally speaking, when you first come to Krishna consciousness, you're pretty enthusiastic because it's all new, right? You described that you first got that deity. That was such a wonderful story. I had no idea you had that relation with Madan Mohan. But, you know, so millions of people have gotten the Gita, and it wasn't that way. That response wasn't there. But somehow in your background, and you were ready, and it was just like, bowled you over, Prabhupada's words, you know. But how to keep that interest, that eagerness to hear Prabhupada's words fresh over the weeks and months and years of your devotional service? How to keep the eagerness to chant, to see the deities, to preach, to distribute books, all the things that Prabhupada has given us, that are part of the movement. That's one of the ways is, of course, good association and avoiding bad association. It brings to mind, you know, so many instructions in Bhagavatam. This one came to mind. Bhagavatam is such a treasure full of jewels, you know. There's this one verse at the end of the 12th chapter of the 5th canto. It's a very short chapter. There's only 16 verses. This is Jadabharat instructing King Rahugana. And he talks exactly about this, you know, susanga and asanga. In other words, good and bad association. But it says, tasman naro sanga susanga jata gyanasine naiva vivrikta moha harin tariha katana shudhabhyam labdasmatir yatatipanam advanaha. And Prabhupada has this little purport, it's like one paragraph, where he says, this is why we've founded the Hare Krishna movement. We invite people to come and become purified, you know, like that, and go back to Godhead. So in this verse, he says, therefore, and I forget what comes before, but it's a conclusive verse. Therefore, by the means of asanga and susanga, in other words, giving up bad association and taking good association in all its forms, you know, we know what that is. One will develop, it says, susanga, tasman naro sanga susanga jata gyanasina. The sword of knowledge, of real transcendental knowledge, by which we'll cut off the bonds of delusion, vivrikna, moha. But that's not the end of it. Then he goes on, harin tariha katana shudhabhyam. And by hearing and chanting the activities, the lila of Hari, Krishna, one will attain labdha smriti. Now, Prabhupada, there's two meanings to this. I looked at the commentary in this verse. Prabhupada sees this verse and says, yes, labdha smriti, you will regain your remembrance of Krishna. In other words, that's where we came from, right? So you remember Krishna more and more, where you came from. And in this way, yatati padmabhana, proceed nicely for the supreme goal back to Godhead. This is the complete verse. The other meaning of labdha smriti, as Vishnu Chakravarti explains, is you will attain constant remembrance of Krishna. And this constant remembrance, this is really, you know, what we're looking for. This is Krishna conscious movement. So that would be Krishna conscious all the time. And what is the advantage of this constant remembrance? That's explained in many places, but one verse comes to mind. This is quoted by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. It's at near the very end of the Bhagavatam, in the 12th chapter, near the of the 12th canon. So he says, Avismati Krishna Padada Bindayo, this constant remembrance of Krishna's lotus feet. What does it do? It gives it. Chinotya Bhadrani, destroys all inauspicious things. Shantanoti. This word Shum is very nice. It means good fortune. The word Shankara is there as a name for Shiva. He who always brings or does good fortune to him. Shantanoti, and increases your good fortune. Sattvasya Shuddhim, it purifies your existence. Padamatma Bhaktim, engenders your devotion to the Supreme Person. And which is characterized by Jnanam to be Jnana Viraga Bhakti. By knowledge, realized knowledge, and virakti, detachment from everything else. This all comes from constant remembrance of Krishna's lotus feet, which comes from cultivating more and more hearing and chanting. This is the eighth verse of eight verses, which I have, forgive me, dubbed the Krishna Kathashtaka. Eight verses. And it repeats some of the verses from Narada Muni. Tad Bhagavasargo, Janataga Viplavo, sound familiar? That's here in the 12th canon. He's repeating the same verse. Any verse that's repeated, you know, is very important. Vishnu Chakravarti says that these verses bracket the whole Bhagavatam. They show how, you know, how important this instruction is about avoiding the pilgrimage of crows, you know, nice sounding sounds or images that have nothing to do with Krishna, a pilgrimage for crows. But those words that may be imperfectly composed but grew up by Krishna would be accepted. And the result of all this is constant remembrance. So that's Jada Bharata is speaking about in that verse. And that's what we should aspire for. So what you're saying is Niyamagra means we're forgetting the goal. You know, we're losing the edge. We're becoming infected by the modes of nature. And even though the habit of doing devotional service is there, the spirit is becoming lost. Now that comes for many reasons. Aparads, you know, you can offend devotees and you lose your taste. And that, you know, the thunderbolt generally doesn't come down and strike you when you commit some serious aparad. But what happens is your heart is changed, means your taste for chanting devotional service, for chanting the holy name, performing devotional service, and especially your eagerness to be in the association of devotees is lost. You know, by serious aparad or repeated aparads. And as soon as that's lost, you know, and you have some other idea, I'm going to do this somewhere, then you're really in trouble. Because without the association of devotees, we become very weak and easy prey. So we have to watch out for both of the niyamagrahas. One is that, you know, slackness in strictly performing, and so-called strictness in performing, but with just out of habit or rote, which generally can't be sustained for long, you know. So the answer is good association, in introspection. So you can see, why is it, you know, I've been coming so long, it's become a chore instead of I'm eagerly coming. You know, one of the things that I stress is just try to understand the real meaning and import of everything we're saying every morning. If we can really get into the mood of Tulsi prayer, my goodness, you know, Prabhupada's given us the ultimate song in prayer, you know. I want to become your maidservant, you know, and just walking around. Oh, thank God I have this means, you know, now I can become free of sin, you know, just by walking around. But basically, you know, the more important thing is the approach to the pure devotee, the meaning, and especially the Guravashtaka, those who are determined to come to the morning program and Mangalarti, which I don't think Prabhupada ever canceled, did he? He always wanted us to come. You know, and what's the very first sentiment? You know, saṃsāra dhāva anadadita loka tranāya. That's the first idea, okay? The guru, Śrīla Prabhupāda, Gurudev, Parampara. We're burning in this material world. So let's really feel it, you know? This is not a happy place. This is, you know, feel the heat, you know? Ah, and there's the spiritual man. He's saving us as a cloud pours down the water, right? Ganaganatvam. And so, you know, he's delivering us from this, you know, ocean of birth and death, ocean of good quality. You know, so what's the first sentiment? It should be gratitude. Utter gratitude. You know, And that puts us in the right mood for the rest of the morning program. To be thankful, another day I can chant Hare Krishna amongst the devotees. You know. So that appreciation, and if you meditate on the words and the ideas, it's so wonderful. Every song, you know, all the things that we're thinking, these are you know, realized souls. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, Narottama Thakur. They're all giving us insight. But that's easy. It's easy to let that flow, you know, over your head because it's a different language, you know, and we've heard it so many times before. Same thing with Hare Krishna mantra. I heard it. Your mind is telling, well, I heard this one before. Let's think of something else. But really, really, the name is the holy name is rich. It's full of, yeah. But you have to cultivate that desire and read. Those are some of the ideas how to avoid nirmagra. I'm sorry, I've gone on and on. Did anyone have any other question or comment? Okay, one or two more, and we'll adjourn.
Hare Krishna, thank you for your class, Prabhu. Just one little comment about Vaishnava Prad. That's not like the lightning bolt just strikes us down immediately. I forget where I read it exactly, but in Nectar Devotion, Arjuna Prabhupada say that the effect of Vaishnava Prad, it's like the waning of the moon.
Exactly.
Our devotion, it'll gradually disappear into darkness.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so serious. It's just like a disease, you know, and it, before you know it, it's taking you over. Yeah.
I'll just give a little example of what happened to me yesterday. I missed the morning program. So I decided to go into my field because I was mowing and my tractor part fell in the field. So I decided to go look for it. So as I was going, I said, look, I mean, I should be in morning class. I'm in this field looking for this path. You know, and so the thing is, if you don't get time to come to the program, you'll be doing some trivial thing. So,
yeah. That's dangerous.
You know.
Bohushaka, you know. Shotavyadinirajana. There's millions and millions of ways in which you cannot think of Krishna. And your mind can get absorbed, you know. Then we have to bring it back, and that's why it's important to get into a routine and to, you know, follow Prabhupada's instruction, you know. And once you get into the routine, at least you have that format. Even if you're in some niyamagraha, at least you have a chance, you know. But if you get to the point where that's even lost, then it's very hard to reinstitute it, you know. I mean, that's the advantage. You join the ashram, you gotta come. You know, get up off the floor. It's 3:30. Are you crazy? You know, and then okay. You know, peer pressure and all this. You know, that's a blessing. But if you're all alone in your own little cabin, you know, well, I'll turn over. You know. The association is so important. One more, Madam.
In thinking on the same point, I put together a little workshop, and it was on. It's called Fly Your Own Plane. And I picked a fighter plane for the plane, and the gauges, you have to fill in what the different gauges are. That's the workshop as you fill it in. And one of the gauges is the G-force, you know, how far your G-meter, how much you're accelerating.
As long as it's not an E-meter. Anyway, go ahead. Keep going.
Oh, okay. So the G-meter was how much you're accelerating. And it had things on both sides. So one side was niyamagraha, and the other side was love samayi or loyam, okay. Intense eagerness. So that was one, because you could gauge your advancement. Uh-huh. So I used the word gauge in a double meaning. Gauge is, we made analog gauge, gauge your advancement. And it was a whole introspection inventory where you could see, you know, how's your reading gauge and your heat meter. What would be your temperature meter. All instrument panels always have temperature meters.
So write it up.
So the temperature meter is your lust gauge.
Okay. You know?
In other words, if you get the
idea. I think we get the idea, Madan. This is a nice visual way in which. All right, I'm going to end with this. We have 30 seconds for 9:00. Once again, the mantra, you know, oh wretched mind, just worship Sri Sri Radha Shama Sundar. And dive into an ocean full of endless bliss and wonder. This is the mantra that we want to take away. Okay. And this is actually from a poem by Rupa Goswami. Bhaja bhaja tu mano re radhika krishna chandra A wretched mind just worships Sri Sri Radha Krishna Chandra and dive into an ocean full of endless bliss and wonder. That's we can try to remember that during the day. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.